Appreciate those special songs tonight. It's especially special to see the children up here singing on their own. I think there was something in their song they mentioned about their house, and they wanted this earthly frame to glorify the Lord. And I hope that's what we all want tonight. That's what we want here tonight as we look into the Word of the Lord. Appreciate your prayers for me. I'd like to write something on the board. Written on the board, be prepared. The Lord woke me up the other night with a scripture ringing in my mind. And it was in Matthew, 24th chapter. And the 43rd verse. And it was going on in my mind through my dream, and as I woke up that in the morning, it just kept ringing in my mind. And I've learned that when there's a scripture like that impressed to our mind, I believe the Lord had a purpose for it. I pray that the Lord can help me bring it out, how He's given it to me. But the scripture says in Matthew 24 and 43, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." We've all heard these scriptures before, and I don't think it hurts us to hear it again, that we must watch, we must pray, and we must be vigilant, because the devil is our adversary. And like we heard from the testimony of our older brother here tonight, we must be careful and watch and pray. We don't know when our time is. And if we knew, everyone in this world would be prepared. If they really knew what eternity was on the other side of death, we would be prepared. And we had a neighbor when I was a boy who went on a vacation. Someone had sent them something in the mail and said they had won this vacation and it was legitimate. They gave them the money. They had this all set up and they went on this vacation that these people paid for. And while they were gone, the people came and took everything from their house, even the lights off the ceiling and the carpet off the floor. And they wouldn't have went on that all-expense-paid trip if they would have known. And sometimes the devil can make things look so good for us on one hand, and all the while on the other, he's stripping everything we have from us. And this tonight is not a message of despair, but it's a message of hope. Yes. Because the Lord has opportunity to show us where the devil works and how to prepare. Sometimes it gets a little tiring to watch, but our job is not just to sit and watch, but our job is to make sure our lamps are trimmed and burning and our lights are burning brightly, and we're doing all that we can to show the world the light of Jesus while we're here. And when the Lord comes, He can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been prepared. You've lived prepared." You know, there's not much worry in living prepared. Sometimes maybe I forget the keys in my truck at night and I don't sleep as well that night. Maybe I hear somebody pull up. Lately, there's an addition going on behind our property and new houses built. And Amazon has the route to the new houses through our driveway and through our field. And so we have Amazon drivers coming up and down our driveway, and sometimes at 5 a.m. And it makes me worry. Like, oh, I left the keys in my truck. I can't sleep very good when that goes on. But, you know, when we're prepared, we can sleep a lot better at night, can't we? And I think of the scripture in Psalms 119 and 109 that says, "My soul is continually in my hand." This house that we have here, so the Lord The Lord Jesus, he referred to it as a house, the goodman of the house. We have a home. It's our frame, and it's for the Lord to dwell in. But it is ours to keep and to care for. And tonight, I just want us to think about our house that we have. Let's read these scriptures here in Matthew 24. We just read one of them, but up above here, Matthew 24 and 36 through 39. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I don't want to just think only of the Lord coming back, but I want to think of living prepared today. Because it's not just for that eternal judgment day that we're living prepared for, but we're living prepared so that we can be a vessel of use for the Lord today. And so, Noah, in the days of Noah, it'll be the same when the Lord comes back. And we can see some parallels today, can't we? So in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage before the flood. There was all kinds of revelry going on. No one was thinking of their soul. But Noah was a righteous man, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what else was going on in that time? Noah was preaching. It says in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So he wasn't only just building this ark to save himself, but he was saying, hey folks, this is what the Lord told me, and this is what is coming. And he was trying to help people get ready, but he couldn't not do what the Lord told him to do. He was building an ark also. And so that's what we do in our lives. We make sure our lives are ready to meet him in peace. But we don't stop there. We want to bring everyone we can with us because we don't want to see a soul lost. And so Noah here was bringing this ark, building this ark. And it says, they knew not until the flood came. And I think, why didn't they know? If Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he was telling them, and here he is building this ark, that's a pretty big sign. You know, sometimes we say, here's your sign. Well, here's the sign. We can see it. Noah was building this thing. I just think if Noah was building an ark in our day, what the memes would look like and the jokes and the things that people would say on the internet and all the funny things that people can make up. And they didn't know. They didn't know that the flood was going to come. Noah was preaching, and all they could claim was ignorance when the flood came, because God gave an opportunity to those people and they didn't take it. And so ignorance is a very embarrassing thing for someone who's highly intellectual. And you know, there's a lot of smart people that died in the flood that day. And our smarts are not going to save us. Our abilities in this life are not going to make us ready for heaven. Ignorance wasn't a friend to the ones in the flood. It will not be our friend in the day of adversity. The Lord does have mercy and great compassion. He is fair. But he also gives opportunity, and it's our responsibility to take those opportunities when the Lord passes by. So Noah, it says in Ezekiel 14 and 14, let's read that. Ezekiel 14 and 14, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. And he says it again throughout this chapter. I'm not going to read the whole context of it. But the basic idea is that these men were righteous in their day. Noah, Job, and Daniel. They found grace in the eyes of the Lord. They sought the Lord. They went the other way of what everyone else was telling them. What their peers were even doing. And it says, but even these men, when the Lord comes, they will just deliver their own souls by their righteousness. They couldn't deliver anyone else. Now, Noah did have his family on board, but I believe his family followed the Lord as well. And that's why the Lord saved them. But we cannot depend on our parents. We can't depend on our upbringing, our culture, our church. We can't just depend on the rules, whatever rules you think the church has or anything like that. That will not save us. It has to be the righteousness of God in our hearts. And you know, the problem with laws, we think of the laws of the United States, how many books it takes to store all the laws of the United States, just the IRS tax code. You think about how many books are written for that. And then we have this word, our Bible, and there's two verses that hangs all the law and the prophets: to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. You know, I was watching those boys and girls playing dodgeball the other night down there at the school. And there's some of them that are really good at dodgeball. And I just thought of this analogy. You know, these people that live in sin, and maybe that lived back there in the flood, they had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And it's kind of like that in dodgeball. Those balls are coming fast and you're dodging and you're really good at it. And you get more and more convinced that you're invincible here. And that you're going to be the last one standing. And you're going to get everybody else out and you'll win the game. But that's not the way sin is. And that's not the way judgment is. We can dodge for a long time. We can go on our way and think, I've got this. I can outsmart it. People can outsmart the U.S. law all the time, but they can't get out of those two verses that Jesus put in place. Attorneys live for ways to try to figure out ways around the law. That's how they make their money. We can't do that with God's word. We can't say, the Jews did it to the old law. They figured out all kinds of things to do. But you know what? The only thing that matters is that our heart is right to please the Lord with everything we have. We can't come to the judgment and say, Lord, I figured out a way to do what I wanted to do and I proclaimed your name. That's not going to work. That's our own ignorance, because that ignorance was blinded by our own selfish desire. The ignorance was made by our own selfish desires. There will come a day that we can't dodge everything. And there will come a judgment day for all of us. I have a friend who I spent a lot of time with when I was young. And through a fit of anger, he threatened someone. And he nearly lost his life this week. He was shot by the police. And it made me think of the last conversation I had with him. He's lived unsaved for quite a while now. And the last time that I talked to him, he said, Michael, I know. I know what I need to do. I know I need to get right, but the time is just not now. I've got some more things I want to do, and, you know, it's all up here. I know what I need to do. It's just, I need some more time. And so I said, well, when is a good time? When is it going to work for you? Well, he's told me that the last two times I saw him over the space of a couple years. And so he was convicted. He thinks about this. Most people think about what's going to happen after I die. But do you know what? We can't control our emotions when we're left to the control of the devil. We can't even control our emotions sometimes when the Lord's helping us. But you know what? We can't control every situation. And sometimes we need a big dose of the grace of God. And if we haven't availed ourselves of it, we won't have it. And this is what happened. And by the mercy of God, his life was saved. He should have been killed. And he would have gone out to eternity unprepared. And I think of the last conversation I had with my friend and think, is he ready now? I hope he is, because God in his mercy gave him a second chance. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3. Let's start 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now they're saying that today too. Going back a little bit to the ark and Noah, it's been in the mainstream media today that maybe they've found the ark. And it's the same site that they've talked about for quite a long time. And, you know, there's been some reports that scientific evidence looks like it is a man-made structure up there on the mountain. I don't know. I suppose that they'll do some more research and maybe we'll see. But that doesn't matter. What matters is, do we believe it in our heart? But, you know, I got on the one news site and I was reading about that. And then I went down to the comments and I read the comments that these people were making. And they are saying the things that are in the Word that they say they would say. Like, you know, this is a theory. This is something that's just a big fairy tale. And Noah got all these animals in there. And you should see all the fun that people are making of Noah's Ark theory. It's not a theory to me. It's a reality. But this is what people are saying today. These are mainstream people. These are our teachers of the day, our professors and our influencers and those that make our laws even. Do they have everything right? We can't follow people. We have to follow the Lord. We have to make our house ready, because there will be a lot of people at the judgment day that say, I didn't know. And God will say, how didn't you know? I sent my word. I sent my preachers. I have creation. I have all these things that point to me. Science points to God. The deeper they go into the things of science, the more that it points to an intelligent creator and a design. We don't have to be ignorant tonight. The Lord has a multitude of word, especially here in this place, and it's our responsibility to get it out to the rest of the world. I don't want to see anyone lost today. Let's read some more of these scriptures. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What people laugh at today and say that, when is God going to come? When is He going to judge? What they're laughing at is His mercy. It's His mercy that it's extending the time. It says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We don't want to laugh at the Lord's mercy. We don't want to make light of the Lord's mercy. You know, those who make light of the Lord's mercy are those that say, I have plenty of time. Even if I think God is real and I think there is a judgment day coming, I have time. That's making light of it. Just like the one that sold his birthright. He made light of it. He didn't count it as something. You know, we have a treasure here. God has so many treasures waiting for us when we give our lives to Him. I wish this message, I was preaching it on the street, because there's so many people that need to hear the message to be ready, to be prepared for this time. And it's His mercy that is waiting, trying to get everyone He can to come into the fold. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all conversation of holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. I can't read these scriptures without thinking of my dad, because the Lord gave me these scriptures as a testimony the last Wednesday night before my dad died. And I got up and I read some of these scriptures. And that last, the 14th verse, where it says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And I said then, I don't know why the Lord gave me these scriptures, but, you know, any one of us could be called out of here. And that was the last service my dad was in. And you know what? I believe he was ready. He lived these scriptures where he could be found without spot and blameless, because the blood of Jesus had washed his sins away. That's the only way we can get this, is through the blood and through us continually giving ourselves to the Lord. It is just a wonderful thing to rejoice when someone goes to heaven and they've been prepared. They live prepared. And they have a house that glorifies the Lord. And their structure is something that gives honor to God. And it's blessed people in their life. Our lives are so short. Even if we live to 95 years old, our lives are short. Our time of opportunity to make an impact on souls is so short. And we must live prepared so that when He comes, He can find us up and doing. So back to Matthew 24, where we started. Let's read some of these verses here. 24 and 44 through 46. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. That's a promise the Lord gave us. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. We have opportunity. We don't have to claim ignorance tonight. We don't have to say, God, I didn't know. I didn't know your requirements. I wasn't ready yet. We have opportunity for God to come and find us doing. Find us taking care of what he's put in place for us to take care of tonight. And then, when we live prepared, we can say, like it says in Revelation 22, where it says, even so, come Lord Jesus. There's another place that says he's going to come on them. They're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them because they weren't prepared. They didn't know. But the Christian can look up to God and say, even so, come Lord Jesus. That's living prepared, and we can be prepared today. I know many of us here want to live for the Lord, and this seems like a message for sinners, but it's a message for us to continue to live prepared so that we can see him in peace and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, pray for me.